Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soul Seekers podcast, where we believe that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure as we share our mission of mentorship is conservation.
This podcast to is learn also more about everything we do, check out our show on Carbon TV.
When I first got into hunting, I kept hearing all about public land and different access.
Read them on, everybody,
and stay
different.
If you want to take your shooting experience to the next level, then check out Coltac gear for 100%
made
in America
across the number one
Coltac manufacturer, specialty gear designed for long range shooting, hunting, and other tactical applications.
Want to get
from their support bags, suppressor covers, shooting mats, and a whole lot more. Coltac is creating
Onyx
tough,
Hunt is the number
durable,
one GPS
and innovative
app
gear
for that.
Both civilian and professional markets.
Who trust Onyx
Go to
Coltac.com
to see all that they have to offer.
New access,
that's Coltac.
It was a game changer for me, and I know
if
it's
you're wanting
be
a to become more accurate and deadly
if you've
with
never
your
used
shooting,
it, if you have
one of the best things
you
can do is upgrade your trigger with a Timney.
Guys,
Timney
really
triggers are 100% made in America and have been since their founding, providing a crisp, reliable, and repeatable trigger break every
check
time.
Check out their app.
I'll be shooting Timney triggers in my
on.
Guns this year, and I hope you'll join me in shooting the world's finest trigger. Go to TimneyTriggers.com to get yours today. If you're looking to take your hunting to another level, there's no better way to do it than by subscribing to Onyx Hunt. If you want to get better at hunting and go deeper into your scouting, Onyx is the number one GPS app for that. Join the millions of hunters who trust Onyx Hunt to find more game, discover new access, and hunt smarter. If you want to know more about Onyx, go to onyxmaps.com/hunt or download their app today for a free trial.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Soul Seekers podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Today, I'm joined by my good buddy, Flatland Sam Singleton here in Las Vegas, Nevada, recording live from the Huxwork Safety Company booth at SHOT Show 2026. And I got my good buddy and friend, Hunter McWaters here
Hello.
Of the Hunter's Quest podcast and show.
What's up, brother?
On Sportsman's Channel?
Sportsman's Channel and YouTube, yep.
And YouTube. And he's here. We're going to be diving into a few different topics because you started everything with your podcast and
yep.
your journey into the hunting space right around the same time I did as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember listening to your show when I was just getting started, and yeah, I love your message and all that. And
dude,
yeah, man,
it's fun. And we're going to talk about messaging today because that's a big part of it, and it's
yeah.
easy to get caught up or not have your eye on the prize as you're trying to still make it viable for your family.
100%. Yeah, that's something I've been thinking a lot about lately.
Yeah. So real quick for the listeners, and you've been on the podcast before. I think mm-hmm. it was like back in COVID years.
Yeah.
Like that must have been 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, probably like right around when I first got started, I think.
Man, I remember you had me on your show,
yep.
and it was hard to be... Man, I had a hard time like talking clearly because I was in the thick of it in the state of Washington,
yeah,
and a lot of pressure was on my family, and I had a lot of unknowns, and I was getting really pissed at the state of the world,
yeah,
and how people were operating in it, fear-based.
Yeah, that was a tough time. Like, yeah, COVID, and yeah, I think you were maybe going through like a possible move,
yep,
some family stuff, and so yeah, that was a rough time, but thankfully I was able to use that time in a positive way, and I don't know. I think actually contributed a lot to where I am now, honestly, in a weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for all the listeners out there, Hunter started his podcast in a way to just kind of share God's love, his love for God, mm-hmm. his nature, and his journey. And you've had a massive weight loss journey through
yeah.
this process as well, right?
Yeah. So I actually just did a YouTube video recently and a post on my Instagram about this. In 2006, well, before that, I have a history of addiction. Like, I was, like, a hardcore drug addict, like, junkie. Like, you would not want to be friends with me.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't, like, a terrible person. I was still trying my best to be a good person. But I just struggled with addiction a lot and had to end up going to rehab, actually. Finished rehab, and then, like, I had no fitness in my life at all or nutrition or anything and just got, like, really fat. Like, I sit here about 180 or so. At one point, I was 250 pounds and, like, no muscle, like, just fatty. You can go on my Instagram right now, at the Hunter's Quest, and see the before and after picture.
Yeah,
it's gross.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's gross, but really impressive.
I'll show you real quick. But, so after that, after I got out, and then it took me, like, 2 years to lose all that weight, because that's a lot. And I did it, like, very kind of, like, methodically, mm-hmm. like not just like a crash diet or something. So that was, and Western hunting was a huge, I'll show it to you later. Western hunting was a huge part of that whole journey because it wasn't why I started necessarily, but I had a hunt in Alaska, which is my first ever Western hunt that a friend had invited me on. And it was the first time I'd ever done a backcountry hike in anything type of hunt. And so, and he was ex-Navy Special Warfare, so like super fit. And I was like, dude, I'm going to die if I don't like start really preparing for this. So that was kind of like my carrot, my goal that I was excited about that really got me into go mode. And then when COVID happened, I was able to like, you know, I wasn't going to the office and stuff. So I wasn't like eating out all the time. I was able to really watch what I was eating and joined a CrossFit gym and just went, and I've been able to, you know, maintain being in shape and being fit. I'm in the best shape of my life and I'm almost 40. Be 39 next month.
Dude, congratulations.
Yeah, crazy. But yeah, man. So, and mountain hunting was a huge part of that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, because you grew up on the East Coast.
Yeah, I grew up on the East Coast hunting whitetails and waterfowl. Like that was, you know, my bread and butter. And but when I did that first trip to Alaska and just the immersive experience of like just being in the wild for like multiple days on end, like that, just that extra level of adventure and challenge, like after that trip, we didn't even fill a tag on that trip, but I was like, this is what I want to do. And I just went like full on, like I don't do anything halfway. So I just went like all the way in.
Dude. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, man.
Sam's really big in fitness.
Yeah.
He's,
used to be.
You're,
I mean, I'm not.
No,
I'm,
you
I'm still very conscious, but I'm not like I used to be.
Well, you inspire me to stay sharp, right? Like iron sharpens iron. So the countenance of one friend to another. He has a history in fitness. I am constantly struggling with my food addiction of just like, dude, sugar's a real problem.
Yeah. It's number one addictive thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so 2 years ago, I did carnivore diet.
I remember that. When you were doing that.
Dude, felt the best I've ever felt in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like truly thrived on that.
It's crazy how when you get like in shape, it's like I always say like we're triune beings, we're spirit, soul, and body. And so like if one of those is out of whack, it'll drag everything else down. And like conversely, if you end up getting in really good shape, like I saw like you're saying, like benefits in my spiritual connection to God, like my how I interact with other people, even like my creativity, everything. And it just all kind of like went together.
Yeah. You focus, clarity of mind, and then realize like, oh, I can't be lazy like a lot of the other people in this world or like how I used to be.
Yeah.
Like you got to be goal oriented.
Yeah. And you gain self-respect like when you're like, when you actually look in the mirror and you're like, okay, like I'm not gross looking. Like,
right.
I like, you gain that confidence and then that feels good and you want more of that. And so it's
chase a dopamine hit of a compliment of
accomplishment.
I got told I look skinny last night by by a guy who I used to work with.
Okay. Good.
And I mean, what it is, not that I've like lost weight. I probably weigh about the same as when I used to work with him, but I'm not puffy.
Yeah.
And that is attributed to the food choices in which I'm stuffing my mouth with.
Yep. Just, and I, like when I was in the thick of like losing the weight, I was very strict. I'm not as like on tracking every single thing that went in my mouth. I'm not as strict now, but still like I just have built in like, and I'm not perfect, but like really try to stay away from just like processed stuff, fast food, sweets as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you feel better. And like the more you get away from eating that crap, the less you want that crap. Like, like you said, it's addictive. So,
well, you know, it's really interesting. And this is my goal for 2026. And I don't know if I shared this with you, but the idea of I want to be comfortable with being hungry.
Yeah.
And I think that is a part of society
right now.
Is, you know, if our body is a gas tank, right? Yeah. We leave breakfast or maybe wake up, we skip breakfast or whatever, and then our gas tanks drop into maybe 3/4 of a tank or half a tank, and all of a sudden, oh, we're hungry. We got to make sure our gas tank is constantly at that full mark, but that's not how it needs to be.
Yeah.
Right? And so,
sometimes you eat too much and it makes you sluggish too. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I started, like, I wake up and I will have coffee with sugar, I'm not going to lie, That's just one of my one things I can't give up. But and then I will have a pre-workout as well, but I'll go to my CrossFit class fasted, and I won't eat till, you know, 12 or 1. And that's hard, like, at first, but then your body gets used to it. It gets fat adapted, and, like, then you start burning a lot of fat, and you can't get used to it, like, so.
Yeah. It's fun learning to be uncomfortable. And that we talk about that in Western hunting, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, push through the suck, through all the challenges. We also can do that in our day-to-day life.
Yeah, absolutely, man, for sure.
So, yeah, that's one of my goals. This last year, it was being in, and this might sound weird to all of you guys, but just like in my growing up and history of my childhood and my life, of this last year, I finally felt comfortable in being happy being alone.
Okay, yeah.
That was a huge accomplishment for me this year, to be like, dude, I just enjoy my quietness.
Yeah.
I take evening walks with my dogs or under the starlight, and just use that time to speak affirmations or have conversations with God, or just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because the chaos is chaos, and, you know.
That is a big one, too.
Yeah. How many kids do you have?
I have 3.
Yeah. You know.
I have an 11-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 2.5-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I got 11, 9, and 6.
Okay.
Yeah, so the three boys, the three amigos.
Oh, my goodness.
The tornadoes. It's awesome. Sam's kids are getting older, and so he's starting to understand, it puts some pressure on.
2 and 5?
2 and 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 is a fun age.
Yeah, then that little girl, golly, she's...
Which one is she, the 2 or the 5?
She's the 2.
Okay.
Second borns are different.
Yeah.
They're a little wild.
They are.
It's fun.
You're firstborn.
I love kids.
What are you?
I'm the second.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got that wild spirit?
Yeah, I do.
I'm a secondborn.
I was the first.
Yeah. My wife is a firstborn. That makes sense. Just, it's a great combination, right?
Yeah, same here, actually. Yeah, the first one I feel like is, like, super well-behaved, wants to please you, you know, at least in our case. The second one, yeah, definitely. And she's always like, well, he got this, why didn't I get that? Like, constantly, you know.
But oh, yeah.
She's cool. She's awesome.
So you went from this journey of, like, I went to Alaska with a buddy who was in great shape. I was out of shape. I dealt with addiction. I need to figure it out, otherwise I'm going to kill myself, to creating a podcast to share your journey, your story, to then being like, you know what? I want to dive even deeper and maybe do this full time. And you've taken that whole leap, going from just a small podcaster on the East Coast to now having a show on Sportsman's Channel. Talk a little bit about that journey. What's that been like?
Yeah. So after that hunt, I was like, man, I really want to do this. And I started the podcast just really to, like, have conversations. Like, as you know, like, there's a lot of people that may not carve out an hour for you just to, like, talk on the phone, but if you're like, hey, can you be on my podcast, a lot of times they'll say yes. And I was really surprised, like, even a lot of the, like, bigger name guys in the industry would, like, you know, came on the podcast, even though, like I said, it was a small little podcast. And so that was really cool. And then I went on a trip to Kodiak, Alaska. My wife surprised me with it, and I had worked in the TV space before I was in the hunting industry, at the Christian Broadcasting Network on a show called The 700 Club. That's where I learned how to shoot, edit, produce. And I'm going on this trip, and I'm like, man, like, I'm going to this awesome place. Like, I have the skills. Like, I got to, like, film it. Like, why would I not? So I filmed it, and then that was the first hunt film I ever did. Turned out really good, and kind of got some eyeballs on it. Started working with some industry folks. I filmed a hunt for Dan Staten at Elk Shape. Then I did some collaboration work with Brian Call at Gritty. Then I kind of decided, like, I want to do my own thing. And started filming hunts. And I was going to do, like, only YouTube. And then, oh, man, it's so hard to get established these days in YouTube. Like, it's just so saturated. And, like, starting from scratch is really hard, especially if you're trying to get brand support. And so a podcast I did with a guy named Matt Busbis, he's not so much in the TV space anymore, but he used to be really heavily involved in the Outdoor Sportsman's Group, which is the Sportsman Channel. And he kind of helped me get into the show. And I already had the skills to, like, produce a show, like, by myself. Like, I didn't hire a production company. Like, I produced the whole show by myself, edited it, everything. So I jumped into that, and that gave me a kind of, like, an instant, not like, first of all, outdoor TV is not like it used to be. It used to be like you got a show, like you're like that's a big deal. Now, to be honest with you, just because of YouTube and social media, like brands don't care as much about the TV show. Like some do, but some really, I mean, most of them really care a whole lot more about YouTube.
Uh-huh.
But having that show gave me some like, okay, yeah, I have a small YouTube following now, but I have a show. Like, it gave me a little bit of instant legitimacy to like get some brand support and just kind of get the ball rolling. And then it's just snowballed from there. And I've been focusing a lot on YouTube, still doing the show obviously as well, but I'm still doing the podcast as well, although my focus has really become more on, you know, video and stuff like that. So yeah, man. And then from there, it's just, you know, people don't really realize it, but probably 40 to 50% of what I did, especially in those first couple of years, was just sales, like pitching, right, selling. Like I got told no so many times, but you just keep at it. And like, you know, certain brands that I knew I wanted to work with and I was not going to settle for anything less, like I would do stuff for them for a couple of years for free until I got my foot in the door. And then I would just be relentlessly persistent, like just annoy the crap out of people until like, and then obviously you got to be able to back it up with like good content. So I've been really blessed to get some amazing partners on board, and that's been huge. So a lot of it was just grinding, hustling on the business side. It's like, it's not like, oh, I just go out and like hunt. That's like all I do. Like that's actually a fairly small, you know, part of it. It's the editing, the sales, it's almost a full-time job just procuring 4, 5, 6 Western out-of-state tags every year and planning the logistics.
Very true. Yeah.
So much to it. So yeah, but that's been kind of how it went for me, man. And it's been great.
Was your goal to be a professional hunter?
I guess I was part of it. I guess my goal really like on the base level is just to like, I knew from the time I was a little kid, I did not want to work in a cubicle. And like, I also knew that like, I remember having this thought very early on as a child, like I don't want to be old and be like regretting that I didn't have like a cool adventuresome life. Like just adventure is a huge thing for me. So like, and travel, and obviously I love hunting. So, and I've always loved like TV and media, like that creative aspect of it too. So it just felt like a natural combination of wanting to create things, be creative, travel, have adventure. Obviously hunting has always been a passion for me. So it's just like all like really just melded together and just works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The term professional hunter is more professional marketer.
Yeah. Like I don't even identify as that really, just because yes, my content is hunting, but like if people ask me like, hey, what do you do? I don't say I'm a professional hunter. I'm like, I'm a TV producer, YouTuber, podcaster in the outdoor space. Like,
yeah.
Because I do so much more than just hunt.
Dude, you know what's crazy is back when I used to teach middle school I've been in teaching for like 20 years.
Wow.
So this is probably like within the first couple years of me teaching. So we're looking like 17 years ago. I had this kid, super lazy, just a horrible student. And I was, you know, I was trying to figure out what motivates him, what inspires him to go.
Yeah.
Nice kid though, like obviously good enough to have a conversation with, wasn't a jerk or whatever. And I'm like, dude, like we need to build some life skills, man. Like, what is it that you want to do? And he's like, well, I want to be a YouTuber. And I was like, a what? He's like, a YouTuber.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to do YouTube for a profession. I'm like, I have no idea what that is, but
yeah,
good luck with that, buddy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and here we are.
Yeah, and you know, like with my kids, like they're super into YouTubers. Like it's not about TV shows anymore or like movie. It's like they have YouTubers they like.
What's one of the wildest things though is, as a parent now, it's really weird. Especially, so I have a DJ background, you know, mixing music and like
nice.
A full on DJ Night Train. Choo choo, get on it, baby. But between the electronics of what DJing is now, or video editing, or photography, and all this, my wife and I, we really limit screen time.
Yeah.
And it's a hard balance of like, I see the creativity inside of you, and if we start you now, maybe this would just be very successful for you.
Yeah.
Versus, no, go outside and go climb a tree.
Yeah.
Like, go ride your bike.
It's hard.
That is something that I'm basing in my life right now in my parenting.
Absolutely. It's a battle, man. I hate iPads so much, like, but it's a battle, man. Like, I actually started, it's funny, like, I actually started my daughter, she's 6 years old, super into gymnastics. She's like, I want to start a YouTube channel, So finally, I was like, all right, fine. I started her a little YouTube channel, like, last weekend. We posted some videos together of her, like, doing a cartwheel tutorial or something. And for me, it's just, like, a fun... And my wife's all like, well, you got to, like, it's got to be really good. And, like, you know, and I'm like, it's just, like, a fun thing. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. You ever thought about stuff like this? Like, what are you going to get your kids into? Or are you going to just let them come across it when it's time?
I just kind of let them come across it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still pretty little. So I don't have really to think about it. But, I mean, they it's funny because you'll see some parents kind of like where we live and stuff. They'll say, oh, I can't go do that because I've got my kids. I can't do that. You know, can't go whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I just drag my kids along. I mean, they
– Yeah.
It doesn't matter if we're feeding cows, working cows, chasing after stuff. I mean, they're just going to come.
That's like, good.
I'll drag them to the gun range with me, and they can play in the dirt, you know.
Better that than sitting at home watching an iPad.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We don't have an iPad at the house, thankfully.
That's good. You should keep that up.
It's hard, you know. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's extremely hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just...
Well, you've been to the range with me and having my three boys there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And it's really hard to be, like... Like, we want to be focused and in tune and be present in what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be a better shooter.
Yeah.
So when I go to the gun range, I want to work on being better at shooting.
Yeah. Fundamentals. Yeah.
But it's really hard to split your mind and be like, okay, are my kids safe?
Yeah. Right.
Like, we killed a rattlesnake at the gun range.
Oh, man.
And my kids spotted it. And I was like, oh, shoot. Like, that could have been horrible. Mom would have been pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely got to be responsible, I mean, getting kids around guns and stuff, too. So, yeah, it's different, like, it's almost like a different thing, like, you know what I mean? It's like, if your goal is to just go and, like, focus and shoot, maybe you should, like, do it, take them on another day when your goal is to, like, help them out. You know, not saying you shouldn't bring them along.
No, yeah.
It's just a different thing.
It's just the challenging dynamic of what it is.
It changes everything.
What's funny is going back to, like, the technology thing and the kids is, you know, my kids are getting to the age where they want to earn money, right? Okay. It's like, well... You have to produce value of some sort in order to exchange for money. So, you know, you want to pull weeds? What chores do you want to do extra?
Yeah.
You want to have some money to go buy some football cards? Sure. This is what you need to do.
Yep.
And I'm getting to the point where, all right, boys, you want to learn photography?
Here's
a camera.
Yeah.
This is aperture. This is frame rate. This is all this stuff. I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of these things that I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
this Soul Seekers could be a journey of me finding how to hunt and expanding that horizon to now teaching them a family business and be like, Soul Seekers turns into, you know, you guys are the future of it. Take it if you want it. If not, no worries.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man.
That's kind of wild.
Yeah,
you know, like, I'd see my boys. You know, we walk around SHOT Show here, these big posters of pictures. You know, I can imagine like, that's my kid's shot. Like he took that.
That'd be cool.
That'd be wild.
Yeah.
What do you got planned for this year?
I don't know, man. Everything's kind of in the air right now. I got a couple things I'm thinking about doing. So one thing we kind of mentioned it a little bit yesterday is like, most of the stuff I've done to this point has all been like pretty tough, like backcountry, public land, Western hunting stuff. And it's awesome. And that's what I've built my content around. But like, I feel like this year, I don't know, like I'm kind of going on a different topic, but I started putting way too much pressure on myself and, taking some of the joy out of it, honestly. And so, I've been thinking about how to like, you know, not every single hunt has to be like a 10-day freaking miles deep backcountry just brutal mission. Like, yeah, I'm always going to want to do those and that's always going to be a part of what I do, but like, let's do some other fun, like let's do a whitetail hunt, let's do a duck hunt or something. You know what I mean? So I'm doing a couple different things this year, I think. And also I started working with Bowtech Archery. So going to get back into bow hunting, which is going to be fun.
Cool.
I'd put the bow down for a couple years when I got into Western hunting just because the learning curve was already so much with figuring out how to mountain hunt. So, but picking the bow back up this year. So I'm thinking about doing a are you guys familiar with a Sika deer hunt?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Out in Maryland?
Yeah. So I live near there, like 2 or 3 hours from there. And we have some connections. So thinking about doing an archery Sika hunt in September. I am going back to Kodiak in August, which would be fun, like a fly-in. And that's fun because it's backcountry, but you don't have to walk back there. You get dropped off, and yeah, you can have a nice, comfortable camp back there. And that'll be kind of coming for full circle on my first hunt film there. So that'd be cool. So August, going to do Kodiak. September, probably the archery Sika, and try to combine that with maybe like a September teal hunt. And then October, I'm thinking about doing Colorado second rifle elk. So that'll be my kind of backcountry, you know, tough public land, tougher public land hunt. Hopefully it won't be too tough, but
yeah,
but rifle. And then, I don't know, November's kind of open. I might do a whitetail hunt near me, might do a Midwest whitetail thing. I've always wanted to do a Virginia mountain whitetail hunt, which I think would be kind of like approach it like a Western hunt, but in the mountains of Virginia. So might do that. Might go to Montana or something, not sure yet. And then I'm thinking about coming down your way, down to Texas, and have a little fun shooting a Texas whitetail with a bow.
You got yourself a connection with that?
Not yet. You know Mike Stroff? You know him?
Nope.
He's a kind of an OG, like, outdoor TV guy. He works with Bowtech, and his family runs some outfits. So I'm
gotcha.
Hopefully going to connect with him about maybe doing something. He's, like, near Uvalde or somewhere. But, and then, I don't know, I did a really kind of fun DIY desert mule deer hunt in South Texas this year that was cool. I might do that again. So I don't know. It's kind of up in the air.
DIY South Texas mule deer?
Yes. Not easy to find. No, on private, but it was
okay.
Unguided and kind of, which is hard to find in Texas. Mm-hmm.
Did you have to pay for the access to that land?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I worked with a outfitter who, like, basically I, like, leased a little piece of property for, like, a week and used to, you know, go for it kind of deal.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's a bucket list for me. I haven't shot a mule deer yet.
Okay. Yeah. I think mule deer are probably my favorite, man. Like, I'm a deer guy, and I just mule deer are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What gets you going? What animal do you like hunting?
Probably black bears.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're just
what I'm talking about.
They're fun to chase after.
The seasons are the best.
They're the best.
I talk a lot about this on the podcast of using black bear hunting as a cross trainer, a term which is lost in the 90s.
Yeah.
To be a better hunter for everything.
Oh yeah.
Right. And so, bear seasons are typically off season of deer and elk.
Yep.
So you're able to get in there in a low pressure environment because you don't get a lot of bear hunters.
Yep. Easy to get tags.
Easy to get tags over the counter, and then you use that as an opportunity to hunt bear. But then you're also seeing unpressured animals, deer and elk.
Yep.
And then it's like, okay, when I need to come back here for September or whatever,
yeah,
I know where I can start pocketing and identifying.
That's a great point. And it's not an easy hunt. It's a pretty tough hunt,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
But it is a great way to hone those skills in the off season. And
it's good. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Okay. So one thing I wanted to talk with you about is you created Hunter's Quest to share this mission of your faith and mm-hmm. fitness and, you know, a better life.
Yeah.
How hard has it been to stay on track to continue to push that mission as you're continuing to make sure your brand and everything that you've started with your business survives financially? Yep. And then, you know, is there more of like a homecoming to that?
Yeah. We kind of talked a little bit about that yesterday when we ran into each other, but absolutely, man. Like, so that, yeah, exactly. I started the whole thing and, you know, I always call it like the Hunter's Quest because it's as my name, but like it's supposed to be like our quest as hunters, not just like my quest. Like it's all of our quest to
the royal we.
Yes, exactly. The Hunter's Quest.
Yeah.
To use hunting as a way to get back to being a respectable man, like whether that's fitness, procuring your own food, adventure, all that stuff that we know that hunting is great for. You know, I do feel like that part of that pressure I was alluding to earlier was, you know, the pressure to prove myself as a flatlander in the mountain hunting space, to prove that, hey, I can do this and I can kill animals and, you know, I can hang with anybody that hunts out west. And also just to, like you said, to, because, you know, at the end of the day, brands, they want to see, and people, I mean, that watch content, you want to see successful hunts. And you're going to have some that aren't. That's hunting. Yeah. And I put out episodes that are, you know, that we don't fill tags to. But, you know, if you're trying to make a living, you have to have brand support and you have to have good content. And that if you're going out there and you're consistently eating tag soup, like, eventually that's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like that I kind of had, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, because I'm glad that I was able to establish myself in the industry. Like, you know, it wasn't just like, hey, I'm a fitness guy, but I can't kill animals or something. Like, I am glad that, like, I was able to prove that, hey, I can do this. I can make good, legit hunting content. But I do feel like I sort of, not intentionally, but kind of fell into the mold of just like being another hunting influencer or content creator or whatever, and kind of did maybe get away a little bit from my original message. And so I had a really good conversation with a buddy of mine named Nico, who works with Remy Warren. He's a great dude. If he's listening, like, thanks, Nico. But he said something to me that really stuck, because I was having this kind of come to Jesus moment after the season of, like, you know, this pressure that I was under was leading to taking some of the joy out of it, and also, like, not making the best decisions sometimes. Like, I just, be honest, like, I missed a stud blacktail this year on a hunt because I was freaking out. The pressure was, and I got up on this animal. My heart rate was jacked. I didn't take my time and just missed this deer, and it was bad. And so that was part of the reason I was like, what's going on with me? And so, and my friend was like, dude, I can tell, like, you're not even enjoying yourself. So, so I do want to get back to that. And I feel like, oh yeah, what Nico said to me was like, man, like, the world does not need another hunting influencer, but the world does need Hunter McWaters and, like, your message and your story and what you offer. And so I really want to get back to that, you know, get back to the joy of hunting, why we love hunting. And sometimes, yeah, it does mean hard, grueling backcountry, you know, adventures. Sometimes it means going duck hunting or taking your kid hunting or whatever. But yeah, getting back to my original message of, I do, you know, ultimately only things that we do that have eternal consequence really matter. You know, like, when I start to look at my life, it's like, okay, you hunt, like, but I want to be, like, significant. Like, so the best way I can do that is to use my platform to point people back to God, to Jesus. And so if I can use my platform to inspire people to get better on the fitness side, of course, but also I really talk a lot about spiritual fitness and, like, developing your relationship with God, because if you don't have that, it doesn't matter how fit, how good of a hunter you are. Like, if you're not right with God, like, that's the most important thing. So yeah, really trying to get back to that. And so I started doing that a little bit with some content I just put out recently about my daily routine and how I've managed to stay healthy and sober and walk with God the last few years. So that's what I want to get back to, man. And still do the adventures as well, though.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, man.
Talking about hunting pressure and someone who we both know very well that potentially made a, you know, innocent until proven guilty, Ryan Lampers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's, yeah.
It's an interesting thing. And, yeah. And the pressure builds, right? Like, I've gone multiple episodes of missing. Yeah. Or not me missing, or having people I'm with filming miss. And it's like, oh, dude, this episode was going to be great. And now it's a miss, or, you know, no kill, or whatever. So there is that, like, always in the back of your head.
Yeah.
But take guy like Ryan Lampers, who I actually thought was extremely stand-up individual. I spent some time with him, I've talked with him multiple times, all that. But then the charges that he got for poaching, and are serious, and I don't think that they would go after them if they didn't have hard evidence and proof.
No, yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one, man. Yeah, I've hunted with lampers. So I've been on two trips with lampers. Both trips we kind of like split off into groups, so I wasn't like actually with him for the majority, but like we shared camp and stuff like that. So I mean, most of my interactions with him were really positive. I don't know how much we want to get into, but yeah, I mean, he's never done anything shady to me.
I'm not trying to make this about Ryan per se, but more just the fact that here is a guy who was what I thought was doing it right.
Yeah.
And then maybe
I don't know.
Maybe the pressure gets to him, or
I heard that like on those hunts he wasn't even filming though, which is weird.
But
I do know that he personally did feel that he needed to kill big animals consistently.
Like,
I don't know if it was just kind of part of his identity, or I don't know, man. It's tough. And like I said, I don't want to like say too much on it, because like you said, innocent until proven guilty. But that was a surprise.
Yeah,
for sure.
Do you ever find yourself getting some hate or shade online for what you do and create?
Oh, there's always going to be haters, man, for sure. I mean, people always want to drag you down, like, you know, or people might be jealous, or people always want to, because, dude, like, what we do hunting, it can get messy, man. Like, you guys know, like, stuff happens in the field, like, and you're not always perfect. You're human, and I never even claimed to be a good hunter, honestly. Like,
agreed. I started this to learn how to hunt.
Yeah, same. And, like, I said from the beginning, like, I can't pretend to be an awesome, like, badass hunter, because I'm learning. I'm figuring this out. But stuff happens, man. And, like, but when you have cameras rolling all the time and people scrutinizing every time you accidentally swipe your buddy with your muzzle or whatever, like, everybody's going to have something to say. But, you know, it's easy to be Monday morning quarterback. You know, I'd say overwhelmingly, you know, most of the stuff has been positive. Of course, there's always haters or people that have stuff to say, but if you're putting yourself out there, like, it's just gonna happen.
What's your perspective on like the Matt Ranella hunt quietly, and here we are producing content around hunting?
Yeah, and it is so interesting about how his brother is like the number one like biggest hunting name out there. I see both sides of it. Here's the thing that I see as problematic is when people who have no business creating content, or maybe don't even really want to create content, but they feel the pressure like, oh, I have to go film my hunt or something. Like, I see a lot of people filming stuff or creating content. And if you're just keeping it low key and filming for fun because you want to, like, go for it, man. Or if you want to be a professional content creator, go for it. Like, but I don't like it when people feel like, just average hunters feel that like they must create content in order to be, to enjoy it or something, or like try to get validation from brands or something like that. Like, if it's not what you're trying to do, like, seriously, I don't know. Like, sometimes, you know, you should just hunt without, you know, calling attention to it. So I don't know. It's tough for me. I mean, I see both sides of it. Obviously, I create hunting content, and so I can't say, yeah, I agree with Hunt Quietly, because that's like the opposite of what I do. But I see both sides of it. I just don't like it. And I have seen guys where I feel like they feel this pressure to like film hunts when like, I'm like, why? Just like go and just have fun and hunt.
Yeah. Have a hunt for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man.
Interesting. You know, what's funny is Sam took me on a first hog hunt.
Oh, nice.
In Texas. And I remember being like, hey, man, like, let me film a little bit of this. Not with a big camera, but just like cell phone. Like,
yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Was that awkward for you, or like, this is just different?
For me, it's like,
because he wasn't really big on social media there.
No. After I quit bodybuilding, like, I separated from social media for like probably 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Because it was a big thing. But when we first met, I was like, you want to go hunt at the ranch, I'm going. You can come with me if you want to, but I'm going to be going with or without you. So if you want to come, come on. Anyway, so, yeah, when you were like, hey, I want to film some of this. This is really cool. I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, man, this is Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But through all of this, like, I've been exposed to, like, there's a lot of people that have never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so Sam got to come to his first Western Hunt Expo 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a second SHOT Show now. And
nice.
And it's a whole nother world, which is really cool.
Yeah. It's a cool world. And I do think, you know, one thing that the social media can do is, like, something I've been thinking about lately, too, is, like, are you doing this because you want to and you like it? Or are you doing this because you're trying to compare? Are you ego-driven, or are you, like, trying to get better or do something for yourself? And, like, you know, I'll admit, like, that's something I've struggled with in the past, is, like, comparing myself to other content creators and, like, being really competitive. And, like, because I am a competitive person, it's, like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I want to be better than that dude. But, like, you shouldn't do stuff like that. Like, you should do stuff to be better for you and, like, compete with yourself. I think it leads to better performance and just a better outlook, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Man, I love it. There's a lot of days that sometimes I just want to hunt for myself. But I will say, living in Texas and having the opportunity to chase predator animals year-round really helps with that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're going on Idaho bear hunt. I want to film it. Gonna draw antelope in Wyoming. I'm filming that.
Yeah.
Hey man, you just want to go blast some stuff with some thermals at night?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Let's just go. So that has actually created a separate avenue to still hunt.
Yeah.
Without feeling the need to bring the camera along.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
It's. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it, and ultimately, I love creating the episodes for myself and my children.
Yeah.
My kids love watching it.
Yeah. It's cool to have a record of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And whether or not, you know, viewership is high or low, obviously it helps when you have brand support. Like, that's what makes, you know, the bus go round.
Yeah.
But, like, these kids are like, Dad, you know, let's go hunting. And they're going to have some episodes this year where, you know, they're shooting their first deer or first hog. Or
that'll be cool.
I'm like, dude, let's make it a family affair.
Yeah. That'll be really cool, man.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's a hoot. What do you think about it all, Sam?
I think it's cool. For me, what I like about it is it tells a story, in a better way than what we could verbally say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's you go on a Western hunt, kind of like going on the bear hunt or whatnot, and you come home and you tell your wife or tell your friends or whoever, and getting to be a part of this now, it's like, no, you can watch this. Like,
yeah.
Watch.
Yep.
And then kind of like your hunt in Nebraska, I was like, I filmed this hunt. I filmed this.
Yeah.
You know.
It's cool to see that come together at the end.
Yeah.
It's and like you're proud of it.
Well, and you know as well as anybody, like, when you get the shot, like, that's just as you feel just as much – at just as much success as the person who pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, man, shoot it with the camera. I got the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get it? Oh, I got it.
I had a blast doing that. And I can tell a story, and the show itself tells a story. It's pretty fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Do you always have to find a camera guy, or you ever just go out and film yourself? And
nah, I always bring a camera guy. Yeah. Which is
takes pressure off.
Challenge. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, self-filming is so hard. It's real hard.
Oh, yeah.
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 And just, the kind of the style I'm going for. And then usually I have stuff I gotta usually deliver, like still photography and stuff too. So, yeah, I at this point, it's all camera guy.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, brother, I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. I did want to ask, like, what's going on with you guys? Like,
dude, Soul Seekers is just continuing on, spreading the mission of mentorship is conservation. I like to spread the gospel of hunting.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't hunt, why?
Yeah.
Why do you not hunt?
Yep.
You know, and if you don't hunt, that's fine, but are you supporting hunting?
Yeah.
Are you supporting a hunter?
Yeah.
And just, it's cool to just know that there's people out there just listening to the episodes, connecting,
mm-hmm.
and it's It's on their list of what they do weekly.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's huge because I feel like there's a lot of people that, like, would like to hunt or would be open to it, but, like, it is a pretty high barrier to entry. And so, like, you know, shows like yours or, like, in, like, some of the stuff you do, like, bringing on new guys, like, that's pretty cool. Like, just because, yeah, I mean, a lot of guys aren't going to just grab a gun and go out there and, like, what am I doing? But if they got someone to take them with, because yep. that's how I got into Western hunting, was someone took me.
Yeah, simple invite. It can transform a life.
Absolutely.
Right? So my goal is every year at least to get one new hunter out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really
so this
good.
Last year I was able to get two. Neighbor of mine who former military and now he's a police officer. So he was like, dude, get you out. It's a lot easier to get people out. And this is a hard thing is thermal hunting.
Yeah.
Easy to get them out, but it's hard to take people out and have that be their first hunt when you're doing everything in the dark and you can't like have full on eyes on.
Yep.
I took my brother and his son out on their very first thermal hunt.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, guys, before we go, we're going down this checklist of safety.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your gun's going to be on a tripod and you're not shooting until I give you permission because we need to identify the target and what it is. And as we're walking from place to place, you're not pointing a gun at anybody.
Right.
You're not flagging and we're staying quiet, but we're walking single file. And
it
all of a sudden, you know, and that's the biggest thing is doing what we do creates ultimate accountability.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's a serious thing. I mean, that plays into the pressure, you know, like, yeah, you want to have fun, of course, but it's also like some of the stuff we do is dangerous or could be, you know, and you're taking a life of something.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have that level of respect as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I was filming my middle boy's first deer hunt this year, and he shot a doe. And this, I don't think this is going to actually make an episode, but which is unfortunate because I had full intention of having it be an episode. So this was youth weekend in end of October. So it's archery season for adults, youth weekend for rifle, and then the next weekend general rifle opens up.
Yeah.
So I'm in the blind and I'm like, all right, Cannon, I've had good deer activity. We should have some deer show up. And we're sitting there in the blind and we see across a creek, there's two deer, can't identify what they are. They're through some trees, so not shooting them, but hey, they're close by, you know, there could be some other deer. And the weather report on that day said some storm was going to be rolling in.
Mm.
So my wife is just blowing up my phone. Hey, it's looking like it's getting worse. It's looking like it's getting worse and looking like it's heading towards you. I'm like, yeah. She's like, when are you going to be home? I'm like, well, you know, deer should be popping out as soon as possible. Thunder starting to hit, like it's getting dark. And we actually, your grandpa laughed, by the way, Sam, when I told him the story. I was like, yeah, he shot that deer during when that tornado. He's like, tornado? There was no tornado. Sam's grandpa, like, full on, you know, country cowboy.
Nice.
Unless it's a real tornado next door, I'm sure he's not going to.
No.
He doesn't care about it.
There's got to be cows in the sky.
Yeah. But my wife, being from the state of Washington, is like, oh, there's a big storm coming. You got my baby.
Right.
So,
of course.
So this doe pops out, and that's where we were hunting. And I'm filming it. But at the same time, I'm having to have a conversation with my son.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, you can do this. You chose that. You said you wanted to.
Yeah.
We're going through this process. And then it's like, oh, but it's so cute. Oh, I feel bad. And all this stuff is going on. So I'm having this internal struggle dialogue with pushing my son into his uncomfort level to squeeze the trigger because he does want it.
Yeah.
But he's also challenged with the, I don't want to do this. And so I'm trying to figure out like this odd dynamic.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the storm is rolling in.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
And, you know, we're in a pop-up blind, so we're trying to be super quiet. And my phone, which is on silent, a tornado, what is it, alert or warning? What's the one that's like more imminent?
Warning.
Yeah, a tornado warning hits. And my phone just goes, burr, 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 all while this doe is right out in front of us. And I'm trying to talk to my kid into like just staying calm. And I'm grabbing my phone. I'm like, ah. And so nonetheless, the dialogue between what him and I are doing, I went back and watched the footage and I felt like I was a little too pushy.
Yeah.
But he ended up shooting the deer but by the time he shot it, it moved out of my frame, and I was focused on him.
Yeah.
That I missed the shot. Which, for a hunting show, is kind of important.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was really an interesting dynamic this last fall.
That is interesting.
To deal with the weather, and he was nervous about is a tornado coming? Like, yeah. What was that alarm? And I'm like, no, man, just shoot. Like,
that's a lot going on.
Yeah, and then he was like, you lied to me. I was like, well, I didn't lie to you. I guess I lied to you in the moment to be like, it's nothing.
Yeah,
like
don't, we'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
Right.
And we were and we are and we're here today. No tornado came.
Yeah.
But you had to focus on the task at hand.
Yeah.
And your task was to put a high shoulder shot on that deer and drop it in its tracks, and he hammered it.
Yeah. Was he stoked after?
He that's a great question. He teared up.
Yeah.
He was afraid to touch it. He started to cry. He said he felt really guilty.
Mm.
He wished he wouldn't have done it. And then, like, the day later, he's like, that was so much fun. I can't wait to do it again.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot.
It's really interesting to hear, have these conversations with a kid and what he's processing. He's very emotionally connected.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. That's, hunting is not like anything else, man. It's a lot. Well, it was good catching up with you, dude.
It was good catching up with you as well.
Yeah, man.
One more time, how can people find your content?
Yeah, just YouTube at The Hunter's Quest, or search my name, Hunter McWaters, and then Instagram at The Hunter's Quest. And then right now, the show runs Q3 and Q4, so it's not on Sportsman right now until July-ish, but Monday at 8 Eastern.
Awesome.
Right before the Western Hunter. So
awesome. I love it. Well, guys, go check out Hunter's, everything that he's got going on, and go give him a shout. Let him know you heard him on the Soul Seekers podcast.
Yeah. Thanks, dude.
Brother, thanks for coming. Yeah, guys, man, it's been an absolute pleasure. Remember, hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure, and that you can never outgive good, as mentorship is conservation. For Hunter McWaters, Flatland Sam, Johnny Mack here at Huxworks Safety Company booth, live at SHOT Show Vegas. Be blessed, freedom on, and as always, stay soulful.
If you enjoyed today's podcast and want to support the show, you can always like, share, subscribe, and leave a rating, as it helps us share our mission of mentorship is conservation. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of Soul Seekers Nation as we transform lives through primal adventure.